We are in 1 John chapter 5 this morning. And the title of the message this morning is Confidence in Prayer. Confidence in Prayer. Now, check fraud is a financial crime, and it's still found even in this modern world of plastic. There are actually quite a few tricks that criminals use for check fraud. A common one is to forge the signature of the account owner on the check. And you know, you do need to be careful with your checkbook if you use one still, because if somebody gets a hold of it, if it's a properly printed out check like you get from a check writing company, somebody can write just about anything on it. It doesn't even have to look like your signature for them to steal from you, unless somebody that they're using it or giving it to actually checks, which often happens now, but even still, there are times when people can get away with it. How many times have people asked you to sign something at a store where you really are supposed to sign? I have a card. It looks like a credit card, but it's not. It's a debit card, but it can be used like a credit card as long as you have money in your bank account or in the account that card represents. It is an American card with a Canadian address. I use it for getting paid online. But when I use that card, it asks for a signature. A lot of people just hand me the sales slip, and I'll say to them, it does ask for a signature. Oh, thank you. But they don't even think about that. Checks, how many people actually would check the signature? People sign your name and steal. That's check fraud. Now, another type of check fraud is where people who have the authority, they actually have the authority to write checks. Might be an attorney, or it might be a secretary or something like that. They have the authority to write checks. But they have the authority to write checks on behalf of a company or somebody else, but then they abuse that authority. They go using a check and signing it, which they have the right to do, but signing it for something that's not the will of the person whose checks they are. All these forms of fraud, of course, eventually catch up with the thief. They do catch them most of the time. Numbers 32:23, be sure your sin will find you out. And one of the most brilliant ones, a con artist of all time, how many people have watched the movie Catch Me If You Can? With Leonardo DiCaprio. I always call him Decapitated, which as Jenny liked him when she was younger. but anyway, it was amazing the things that he did, signing names and everything else. But he still got caught. Brilliant. Still got caught. And what did they do? They hired him. He now has a very successful consulting company. Shows you how to prevent fraud. But the thing is that there are people that commit fraud like that. But there are lots of people who write checks and everything's fine. Nothing, no problem at all. And they have confidence when they write the checks. They're not worried about getting caught. Why is that? It's because they have the right to write the checks. So they have confidence. They're not worried. We're going to look at how that applies to prayer this morning as we turn to 1 John chapter 5. Stand with me, please. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. I'm actually translating a book on prayer right now by a charismatic. I wish he was here this morning, because they have a lot of errors. Here's what it says. 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, We know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Father, as we look at this very important topic this morning, the topic of prayer, the topic of Your will in prayer, and the way You answer prayer, God, we pray that You would speak to our hearts personally, each one of us. God, we need Your teaching on this. It's not good enough on such an important subject just to have somebody lecture on this, but we need to have Your teaching right in our hearts. And we pray for Your presence and Your guiding and for the work of the Holy Spirit in each one of us this morning, that we would really understand what You're telling us here in these two verses. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Christians ought to have confidence in Jesus Christ, knowing that if we ask Him for anything according to His will, He will not only hear us, but will give us whatever we ask. I'll say that again, it's so important. Christians ought to have confidence in Jesus Christ, knowing that if we ask Him for anything according to His will, He will not only hear us, but will give us what we ask. Yet many Christians are praying for many things that they never see. Something isn't right. As the children of God, we ought to have great confidence in prayer. And that's the first point this morning, is confidence. The Greek word that's translated confidence is parousia. I'm not Greek, but that's close, I think. Parousia, implying boldness. It's talking about being bold. This is the same word that is actually translated boldly, this very same word that's translated confidence here in 1 John chapter 5 is translated boldly in Hebrews chapter 4:16. Same word. What does it say? Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You see, you could read that, that would say exactly the same thing if we said, let us therefore come with confidence to the throne of grace. Come boldly. So this is talking about boldness before God. As Christians, we have confidence in Jesus Christ, or we certainly ought to. We have confidence, that is this boldness from Hebrews 4:16, that we can approach Him without fear as His children because we're His kids, and ask Him for anything according to His will. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, be careful or anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. He's talking again there about this thanksgiving. You're praying with thanksgiving. What are you praying? If you don't know you're going to get it, what are you thanking Him for? See, praying with thanksgiving. You're thankful. You're thanking Him already. The Bible does talk about that. And this is where we have to be careful, because this is where we get off in some of these things about naming it and claiming it and so on. If you just, you know, have enough faith, or if you just visualize it clearly enough and so on, or if you just create your own, it just gets more and more crazy after a while, you know, and just believe you already have it, and just visualize in your mind you already have it, and you just kind of create your own reality. That is not what this is talking about. That's the charismatic and sometimes far over charismatic movement, and that's talking about treating God like a genie in a bottle. And that's not what this is talking about. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. That's referring exactly to the same thing, to have confidence in Jesus Christ, knowing that if we ask Him for anything according to His will, He will hear us and He will give it to us. As Christians, we have confidence in Jesus Christ. If we don't, something's not right. Talking to Him, rather than filling us with uncertainty and dread, gives us great comfort. It shouldn't be When we pray to God, even if God answers no, which He will if we don't pray according to His will, but when we pray and talk to Him like that, He's got it. Amen? He's got it. You've heard that term, I've got this. You know, somebody's worrying, fretting about something, they don't know how in the world I'm going to do it, and somebody comes along and say, don't worry, I got it. Right? I got it. That's the way it is with God. When we actually trust God and pray and bring our prayer and supplication to God and make our request known. In other words, we're not telling God something He doesn't know. We're saying, God, You're the one I'm trusting with it. Then just trust Him. And He gives us comfort. He gives us peace in our hearts. That's why we go about worried and fretting, because we don't have confidence. You know, the Bible says that love casts out fear. The reason why we have fear is that love and fear can't exist together. If there's fear in our hearts, there's something wrong. And the only way we can deal with it is by going to God and praying. So, well, what should I pray for? Check it out. There's the manual. It'll tell you. You'll know how to pray. You know, we just talked this morning, Psalm 145 is a prayer. It's called David's Psalm of Praise. That's the title on it, David's Psalm of Praise. And the entire psalm, 21 verses long, is a prayer of praise. There's not one request in it. That's an example of prayer. And we can come to God like that and go on into our request, but commune with God, spend time with God if you want to have that peace. We have confidence in prayer, knowing that the Son of God is listening to us, hearing our prayers. We have that confidence. And that's our next point. He hears us. It's so important, I made it a separate point. The Greek word translated here is for hear is akouo. And this means to hear with the ears, but it also means much more than that. Okay? It always implies giving audience to somebody, understanding, paying attention, considering what has been said. Well, I gave an example this morning. I wonder if Ethan remembers. Talking about somebody says, I'm not listening to you. Remember I said that? Yeah. And we figured out that doesn't mean they can't hear you. They're just not paying any attention to you. Well, when people pray the wrong things, go to God the wrong way, especially if they're not saved, of course God can hear them, but He doesn't listen. He doesn't consider. When we see in the Bible here, when it says He hears us, it means He's listening to us carefully. He's considering, He's giving audience to us. We are literally, and when I say literally here, I don't like to use that term like it's so often used incorrectly. That bugs me. We are literally, when we're praying, as Christians, as the children of God, we are literally before the throne of grace. Amen? That's where we are. In spiritually, that is where we are. We have entered into the throne room of grace. We're His little kids, boldly coming before the throne of grace. And He's listening to us. He stops. It's like a king. Picture a king. I mean, God can do everything at the same time because He's infinite. But it's kind of like, for a picture for ourselves, it's kind of like a busy king. And He's giving audience to all these important dignitaries and so on, and His little kids come running into the room. Daddy, Daddy, He just stops everything and focuses on His kids. That's kind of the way God treats us. Of course, He can do that for everybody at the same time, but because God is eternal. But He pays attention to us. He hears us. Isn't that amazing? The God of heaven, when you pray, He's paying attention to you. It's not just going up into the air. The prayers are being heard. Well, it brings us to the third point here, and another important point, and another one that I wish people that get into the name it, claim it stuff would pay attention to. I mean, they will agree with these title of this section, How We Ask Matters, but then of course it goes. Here's how we ask. It's right in these two verses. Jesus has promised to give us whatever we ask for in his name or according to his will. However, in experience, many Christians, perhaps most, will say that they have asked for many things, but they've not received them. And why is this? It has everything to do with how we ask. It really does. That is correct. It has everything to do with how we ask. Listen to pretty near any Christian pray, and most will end their prayers with something like this: in Jesus' name, amen. Or some will go, in the very extremely, amazingly, eternal, powerful name of Jesus, amen. The charismatics like to shout that out. But have you really thought about what it means? It's like you're signing Jesus' name to the spiritual check you just wrote. So the question is it a valid check or is it a fraud? Here's where great error has crept into Christianity. And this is a big problem, and I've seen this problem all my life in church, everywhere I've been. Except maybe here, under Pastor Steve. I won't say I don't believe I heard this under him, but lots of places I've heard this, okay? Many teach that the reason we don't get what we ask for is because our faith is weak. That is so commonly taught, and if it's not taught, a lot of people believe it, that we don't get what we ask for because our faith is weak. If my faith was just strong enough, if only my faith was strong enough, I wish my faith was stronger. Well, the Bible tells us that God has given to each the measure of faith. I think it even says that measure of faith. I'd have to look it up again. What is that measure of faith? It's what you need to be saved. It's what you need to have access to God's grace. God gives everybody that measure of faith. That's what we need to access his grace. And what we need to do with that is not have huge faith. What we need to do with that is put that faith in the right person. Put our faith in Jesus Christ. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you have access to everything. Realize that? You think, oh, if only my faith were bigger, I could do. The Bible says that when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we're born again by the will of God. And the Bible says what that means, that we have the right to be called the sons of God. The Bible says that we are his children. The Bible says that we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. The Bible says that Jesus Christ inherits what? Everything. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Do I have to worry about how big my faith is? No. Through Jesus Christ, I have access to absolutely everything. It doesn't mean that everything that I want is good for me, but it does mean that it's not about my faith. It's about where my faith is. So that's not the reason people aren't getting what they ask for. That's not the reason their prayers aren't being answered. Not because their faith is weak. We get this idea that we don't believe strongly enough, so God doesn't give us the desires of our heart that we ask for. And so on. And all, even this teaching, and again, there is teaching out there, and there's a lot of it. It's very popular because of what it's saying. Wow, I could have anything I want. Because they believe, and it's taught, that if you have enough faith, if you just name what it is you want, and claim it in the name of Jesus Christ, and have enough faith, God has to give it to you. Back to the genie, right? And of course, I'm not labeling all Christians there. Not all Christians are part of what we, probably most Christians aren't part of what we label, name it, claim it. But many believe that the reason God isn't giving us what we ask for is because of lack of faith. And the reality is that's at best, that's only partly true. It comes down to the next point, which is his will. The Bible tells us clearly and simply right here in this passage that God considers our prayers and gives us anything that we ask for when we ask according to His will. That's what it says, whatever you ask. You have confidence, it says. This is the confidence that we have that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us, and we know that if we know He hears us, whatever we ask for, we know that we have the things that we've asked of Him, that we desired of Him. We know we have. That's powerful. That's saying something. Is that your experience? That's what it says. And if it says it, it's true. This isn't something that's been made up by somebody trying to get people excited to follow some movement or something to go out and get all kinds of stuff and so on. This is just the Word of God right here. The Bible says that He hears us when we pray according to His will, meaning He considers what we're saying and asking when we ask according to His will. And it goes on to say that when He hears us, He will give us what we ask for. And without even having to go into the Greek, which we don't have to do, you don't have to go into the Greek, by the way, but looking up the words, you can use Strong's or other things. Looking up some of the words can help you in your deeper understanding of the Bible. I recommend it for Bible study. I'm just warning you, don't reinterpret the Bible. The Bible's a good interpretation already. But sometimes it can help you have a deeper understanding. But we don't need that to understand from this passage that God doesn't listen to us when we pray selfishly according to our own will. He doesn't consider that. It's like what I was talking about when He says, I'm not listening to you. When we say that to a child who is bugging a parent for something that it's not the parent's will for the child to have it, and the child knows that already, the parent says, I'm not listening. God hears us when we ask according to His will, not when we ask selfishly according to our own will. And of course, God can hear us. He can still hear our prayers. It's just that He's not considering them as something that He's going to give you. God loves us, and He's waiting to give us certain things that are good for us, but that He wants us to ask for first. Okay? There are things God wants you to have, and you don't have them right now, even though it's His will, because you haven't asked. There are people we need to pray for. There are things we need to pray about. The list goes on. Many, many things that we do need to pray about, but Jesus told us that we need to ask in His name. John 14:13, Jesus said, and whatsoever ye shall ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And again, this means that we must ask according to His will. Think about this. If I tell a contractor to go to GBS, say I've got a contractor working on my house, and I tell him to go to GBS and buy some lumber on my account, that's great, right? He can go in there and he puts the order in and he gets the lumber and he brings it to my house and everything's great. Say while he's in there, he spots a great big package, DeWalt package. It's got everything in there. It's got a 24 volt battery pack, two of them in there. It's got a saw, it's got a sawzall, it's got a drill, it's got all the fancy things you can imagine, and it's $400. And well, he'll never notice in this contract. So he just picks that up and puts that on my account too. Is that going to work out well? Not really, no. Well, you see, that's some of the things that we do. He has the authority to get the lumber, but he doesn't have the authority for the DeWalt package. Now, how do we determine the will of God so that when we pray, we can be sure our prayers are heard and we get what we ask? The very first thing, of course, is we need to be saved. That must be first and foremost. If we're not saved, it's not going to work out. Unless you're a child of God, your prayers are not heard by Him, period. God doesn't listen to the unsaved. And in fact, the Bible says that praying to God without first trusting Christ as your Savior is blasphemy. And considering where I'm going to quote from, I will say that not believing or praying without believing God is blasphemy. And today, believing God includes putting your faith in Jesus Christ. Okay? If you don't put your faith in Jesus Christ, you don't really believe God. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 5, verse 8, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. The prayer of the upright is his delight. So prayers from wicked to God, anything from the wicked to try and please God, anything from the wicked to try to talk to God, is an abomination in his sight. Proverbs 15:26 says, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. So Jesus said the only possible way to speak to God is through him. Any other way is an abomination. It's blasphemy. Any other way. People say there's many ways to God. Jesus said, I am the way. Period. And this is the first and primary will of God, that all should repent and put their faith in Jesus Christ. And unless you do that, if you try to pray, you're coming to God presumptuously, which is grievous sin. Why do I say presumptuously? Because if you come to God other than the way he says to come, you're being presumptuous. You're saying, I'm good enough. He's going to have to accept me the way I am. That's presumptuous. We have to come through Christ. And how do we do that? We put our faith in Jesus Christ. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, when you pray, after you put your faith in Jesus Christ, no matter your prayer, when you pray, after you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you are coming through him. Amen? You are. You're in Christ. You're coming through him. And that's the only way you could come. Secondly, when you ask for anything, you need to ask in accordance with what God is willing to grant. Okay, our next point. Everybody here is familiar with computers nowadays, right? Everybody, pretty much, sort of. Are you familiar with 404 bad request? You go to a web page and up comes a warning that says bad request. Well, that means your request was incorrect or corrupt. That's what it means. That's the definition of bad request. Well, many people pray, yet in spite of this promise from God to grant a request, they're not being granted. The Bible gives us a reason why they're not being granted. James chapter 4, verse 3 says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. You know, the previous verse to that says, ye have not because ye ask not. In other words, you don't have anything because you're not asking for it. And then the very next verse it says, but you ask and you don't get it because you're not asking for the right thing. You're asking for stuff to consume it on your own lusts. That's wrong. That's not the things to ask for. Think about it. What are you asking for? Are you asking for God's will to be done or yours? Think about it. Well, yeah, but there's this I want, there's that I want. You know, the more time you spend with God, the more relaxed and comfortable and happy you'll be with what you have. And the other thing is that God knows what you need and he'll give you what you need. And there's more than that, which is obvious in our Western world. God will give you more than you need. God gives us lots of things that we don't need without us even asking for it. Just God supplies it. We're tremendously blessed with stuff where we live in this Western world. Those aren't things that we need to ask for. And I'll tell you what, if you decide to go buy something, a luxury item of some kind, I'm not saying you shouldn't do that, by the way. The Bible doesn't say that. But I will say, before you do, go before God and ask him if it's all right. Don't just go ahead and do it. Bring God into your decision. God will probably be fine with it. Or maybe he'll move your heart in a way, an unexpected way, something different and better. But a lot of the reasons we don't receive the things we're praying for is because we're asking for the wrong stuff. We're not asking according to God's will. So there you go. You go, wow, whew, this is scary. How do I know what his will is? I remember years ago, a woman was visiting. We used to go to another church with them. and we were talking about things, and I was talking about how I really wanted God's will for my life, and I wanted to be sure I was in His will, and I was asking God to keep me in His will. And I didn't think she was really paying that much attention, but up comes her head and she goes, "Did you ask God?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "Believe God?" I said, "Yeah." "What's your problem?" "What do you mean?" She said, "Well, you asked Him to keep him in your will, right? Or keep him in... You asked Him to keep you in His will, right?" I said, "Yes." She said, "Do you think it's His will that you are in His will?" I said, "Well, yes." She said, "What's your problem?" Sometimes we overcomplicate things, right? The question is an important one. How do we know? How do we know? There's many others that aren't quite as clean and clear as that one. When you ask for something that is in accordance with the will of God, you're asking in His name, first of all. You are asking in His name. There's no need to say it. That's what Jesus meant when He said, "Ask in my name." There's where the big error comes in. This idea that, and it's everywhere, this idea that we must finish our prayers with "in Jesus' name" or something like that. That's not in the Bible. Okay. He said, when He was saying, "When whatever you ask in my name," he wasn't talking about using those words any more than He was telling us when the disciples asked Him how to pray, to teach Him to pray, and He gave them the prayer that everybody calls the Lord's Prayer. He wasn't telling us to pray that prayer for 2,000 years, those words, which is what's gone on. He was saying, this is how to pray. These are the things to pray about. This is the way to approach God. This is the way to think of God and to think of yourself. It's like the Ten Commandments. Aren't telling us what not to do. They're telling us how to love God and how to love our fellow human beings. We often get God mixed up for some reason. When we are praying according to His will, we are asking in His name. That's what He meant. You're asking, He said, ask in my name. He meant ask according to my authority, according to my will. If it's in His will, it's in His name. But how do we know what the will of God is? Okay. There's the crunch, right? Read your Bible. That's the answer. Read your Bible. The Bible is filled with passages and verses that tell us what the will of God is. Filled. You'll find over and over again, you'll find passages in your Bible. I encourage you. That's why you need to start early in the day and when it's quiet. Read your Bible. You'll find things as you're reading the Bible that you can pray right there as you're reading. It's something that is the will of God, and you suddenly realize that as you might have read it hundreds of times before, and you read it and you suddenly realize that's something that you should pray about or pray for or ask God about because it's His will. And again, read your Bible prayerfully. When you pray and ask God to give you wisdom and give you understanding, as you read your Bible, it's His will. The Bible says so. It's His will. And we'll have another verse on that shortly here. It's His will for you to understand and have wisdom. James 1:5. If any of you lacketh wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. See, that's the will of God, to give you wisdom. And ask Him for it. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. What's the next phrase say? For this is the what? Yes, amen. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Right there, I mean, that's crystal clear, isn't it? Furthermore, when we pray agreeing that His will is right, we must realize that we don't always get it correct. But God always does and will give us what is best for us. Sometimes we don't get it right and we ask God for something that isn't right for us. And He says no. We need to remember that and understand that we're not perfect. And when God says no, it's good. It's not His will. We can know that. We can be equally confident that if we don't get something, it's not because we didn't have enough faith. Okay? You got that? If you don't get something that you ask God for, it's not because you don't have enough faith. It's because it's not God's will for you to have that. That's why. You have enough faith. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you have full access to God. You don't have to go trying to dredge up more faith. You just have to recognize that some things aren't His will. And there might, sometimes it might not be what we like or what we want to see, something we wouldn't think of as best for us, but God knows what's best. Sometimes we might ask God to take something away, and God says, this is what's best. This is my will. Here we go, 1 Peter 4, verse 19. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Sometimes it's God's will that we suffer for a time. He's promised to take care of us, and it's temporary. What can we do? God showed me years ago that He doesn't want me spending my time praying and begging Him to take away difficulties. What He wants me to do, what His will is for me to ask Him with confidence in Him to take me through whatever it is He wants me to go through. I would rather go through fire with God than live a godless life and go to hell at the end. Well, He'll take me through. He'll bring me through. Remember my dad. I still remember my dad. Going up the steep hill from the river. And Dad wouldn't carry me. And it was a struggle. I was a little guy with little legs, and it was steep. If you ever see the banks of the Skeena River up above Kispiox, they're steep. And Dad, with his longer legs, he could go a little bit faster than me. And I'd carry me, Daddy. I was little. You know what he did? He carried a rifle. So he slid it back and grabbed a hold of that, grabbed a hold of the stock. Hang on to that. And he pulled me up the hill. I had still had to walk, but it was a big help, Dad pulling me up that hill. Well, there's things that God doesn't want to carry us for. He doesn't want to just take them out of our lives and make life easy. It doesn't help us to have our lives made easy that way sometimes. There are hard things that we sometimes must go through. But God, it's His will for us to go through it. And if you run into a situation where you've prayed and asked Him to take it away and He hasn't, maybe pray three times like Paul, then you realize that God's saying to you, no, my grace is sufficient. You don't need me to take it away. You need my grace. That's what Paul was finally told. And he prayed three times. And guess what? Paul, if you think, oh boy, I blew it again. Paul asked three times for something that wasn't God's will. That's what we find out there. It wasn't because Paul's faith wasn't strong enough. It wasn't God's will to take away his thorn in the flesh. And God said, my will is for you to recognize and accept that my grace is all you need. You don't need me to take away the problem. So as we conclude this morning, think again about that passage from Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 that says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. There's nothing that this world can offer that is better or more valuable than having our hearts and minds filled with peace. Nothing. I can't think of anything. I can be hurting so bad and so messed up and so struggling, have so little and be so sick and in so much danger. Name all the bad things you can possibly think of. Just drum them all up, dredge them up, pile them on. If I have the peace of God filling my heart, it doesn't matter, does it? What do we need? We need peace in our hearts. When you have peace in your heart, you've got everything. Think of something you could add that would make your life better if your heart is completely at peace. Think of anything you could add that would be better if your heart is completely at peace. There isn't anything, is there? It's the best thing that there is that we can have in this world is God's peace. And Christians, we have this confidence in Him that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us, and we know that because He hears us, we have it. See what it says in the Bible there? It says we have it. It doesn't say it'll come to you eventually. It says we have it. See, there's where it gets twisted a little bit. People start thinking you just got to visualize. No, that's not what it's saying. It's saying it's yours. That's what it's saying. You know, if I get a loan from the bank, do I have it? If they give me the loan, do I have the money? Yep. But I have the use of it. It's like I have the money, right? It's like I have the money. You know, I have it. But I don't actually have the money in my pocket. Exactly. It's not in my pocket, but I have it. See, now that's just a little worldly example there, but it could kind of give you the idea here is that when you ask for something according to God's will, we can be confident that we have, the Bible says, we have what we desire. That's pretty incredible what he says there. And he's not telling us that we have to go through all kinds of visualization and imagination and all this kind of stuff. It's just saying if you pray for something according to his will, you can be confident that you have it. In other words, it's yours. Just because it's not in your hands, or if it's something physical, it's still yours if it's God's will. Like Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20, who praised God for something they didn't have in their hands yet. They still praised God. Hannah praised God for the baby that God promised. She didn't have it yet. And Jehoshaphat praised God, and he even wrote a big song and performed it and had a great big ceremony and thanksgiving to God for something that hadn't already been delivered to him, because God said, you have it. As Christians, we can have such confidence that we can pray or praise our Lord for answered prayer before we even see it, because if we pray according to his will, we have it. And again, how do we know the will of God? By his word and by the Holy Spirit who indwells every believer. The Holy Spirit shows us from the word of God. You have to read the word of God. The Holy Spirit, though, shows you as you're reading the things that apply to you specifically right now that you should be praying about. They're in the word of God. If we're walking in his will, which we know from his word, he will guide us in our prayer to pray according to the will of God. And we could draw another accurate conclusion too. There's another conclusion here. Another thing we can have confidence in. If we're not seeing answers to our prayers or not receiving what we ask for, we can be sure, we can have confidence that we're not asking according to his will, and we're probably not walking in his will either. So be careful. Think about these things. That's an important passage. Think about this and apply it to your life. Remember that you don't have to have huge faith. God never in his word anywhere tells us we have to have gigantic faith. And I know it says, if you have faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, you can tell this mountain to go plant itself in the sea. People misunderstand that. They think, well, that's pretty tiny faith, so boy, I got to just work on my faith and make it get bigger, right? Work out a little bit. And they try to plant a mountain in the sea. But that's not what he's talking about. People don't realize. Jesus didn't always give the whole picture all at once, especially when he was talking to his disciples. What he's pointing out is that if you have a tiny little bit of faith, just a little bit, doesn't matter about the faith, that's enough to do huge, mind-boggling things. Why? Because it's about who your faith is in. It's God that's, if it's his will, then chuck the mountain in the sea. Remember the man who prayed in the Old Testament and asked God to stop the sun from going down. So that's crazy to ask such. That's who that would It did. It happened. Sun stayed up for 24 hours. Well, why? He had enormous faith, right? No. The Bible doesn't say that at all. God did it. And that's the way it works. God did it. So don't worry about your faith. Don't think that, boy, I'm just so horrible. I don't have enough faith. I got to work on my faith. I'm not much of a Christian at all. You are a Christian, a Christian, a Christian, a Christian. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are a Christian. You are a child of God. You are His child, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. There's nothing you can add to that. You can't become a better Christian. Show me in the Bible where it says you got to work on becoming a better Christian. It doesn't say that. It does say things like, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And you can check it. Am I keeping his commandments? Boy, I'm not showing my love to him. There are all kinds of things you can read in the Bible that tell you exactly how to check on yourself and what you should be doing. But it doesn't tell you to go become a better Christian. Because who makes you a Christian? It's God that makes you a Christian. Amen. You put your faith in Jesus Christ. Now you're a Christian. You're a child of God. You're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you have access by faith to his grace, which can move mountains. Again, when you pray, think about this every time you go to pray about his will. And when you pray for people, pray like our Savior did. You know, there's people around you that you know that are sick, that are in trouble, that are having huge struggles, and you desire so much in your heart for them to be well. Pray for them and pray that God will touch them and work in their lives and heal them. But pray that God will do his will in their lives. Their healing might not even be what you imagine. But always ask for God's will in a situation. If you don't know exactly what God's will is, ask him to do his will. That's what we ought to be doing. God knows best. Amen? Let's stand for prayer.